welcome, weebs of all walks, and you are listening to the Weeb Trash Can Podcast. I am Byron D0, and we are doing a three-peat of our three-person trifecta. And tonight, I have with me...
Of course, as always, well, other than last week, we have back 606 Defender of Justice. Mag will be here. What's up, guys?
All right, tonight's episode, this one's been one that we've had a bit of discussion about here and back and forth.
It's caused some friendly debate is what it's caused.
A wee bit. Anime miniseries.
What the hell is an anime miniseries?
Oh, God. Okay.
This is the debate we've been having.
Correct. With the minimal amount of research that I did, I would say that an anime miniseries is anything that you can watch and... roughly 10 to 5 hours, but for all intents and purposes tonight, we're going to say the episodes run anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes or less. You know, my show in particular that I'm going to be bringing up, the episodes run for like 7 minutes, so.
Yeah. We had a lot of back and forth about what counted as a miniseries. Was it something under a certain number of episodes? Was it something where episodes ran for a certain amount of time? Did it include OVAs? Stuff like that. So what we ended up deciding was that it can be any and all of these things. What we've decided to talk about are short runtime episodes that are under the standard 30 minutes.
Yes. I'd say that a good chunk of the shows that are going to be discussed are going to be gag series. Some working to varying effect. Mine in particular probably gets the gag series down to a science. Mine is called Toenari no Seki-kun. And the series as a whole takes place in one classroom between this one girl and her classroom neighbor Seki, who in the dub translation, and this is a very loose translation, he's referred to as the master of wasting time. Anytime a lecture is going on, Seki is doing some outlandish project instead of taking notes in class. For example, he is doing things as absurd as creating an anime of his own and using his classmates for voice samples so that he can get a perfect animation down. Or he's doing an entire diorama of a mech family. And even when they leave the classroom, he took the mech family with him. And there's really not a lot to the series. It's just, if you got like a couple hours to spare and you just are feeling down and you just want a good laugh, I highly recommend this series. I wish I had more to say about it, but I enjoyed it. I haven't finished it yet either.
Oh no.
You know, it's a pretty quick series, but because it's so quick, it's like I can get caught up doing other things. And that's why I have such a large back catalog anime as is.
Yeah. Everyone, all of us do.
Yep.
So this one works well as a mini series because of its just episodic, chaotic kind of nature.
Yes, it is. There's no interconnecting narrative. It's just good comedy. And I'm very critical of Japanese comedy as a whole, just because, like, I feel it relies more on puns than wit and sarcasm, because Japanese aren't known for their sarcasm culturally. They're a very polite culture, so why would you go as far as using wordplay to insult someone?
You know, I think that something that we will run into in a lot of these miniseries and ones that I did come upon through my research is that there's not really too much to them. Except for these, like, little, you know, these humor moments or, you know, just kind of feel good sometimes.
Absolutely.
Like, sure. You know what's interesting is I do feel like this, and I haven't found any, but I feel like this format would work really well in a horror capacity.
Yes. We'll touch upon, for my honorable mention again, just Corpse Party. It's very short, very to the point. But so jam-packed in those four, you know, episodes. The reason why I didn't, you know, actually go with that one is because each of the episodes is a half hour long.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It didn't fit our criteria, but it is, you know, a great horror format.
No, and I honestly think you probably could have talked about that because Megatron had very strong... He couldn't be here today, but he had very strong feelings that he wanted to talk about Afro Samurai, which I believe is a standard, like, 20-30 minute runtime series, but we're gonna read what We're going to read his dissertation on this. Because, you know, at this point, you guys are all familiar with the way he talks, and he and I will go on and on and on about artistic aspects of things. So, he wanted to talk about Afro Samurai. His words, Afro Samurai is my mini-series of choice, not including the OVA. Its total runtime is 100 minutes, split up across 5 episodes. In my opinion, it contains all the elements needed to tell a well-crafted revenge story that is familiar in both samurai and Western cultures. As an anime, it is able to emulsify both genres into an action-packed, hip-hop-themed mix of blood, vengeance, and swordplay, all rolled into a neat package that is both short and sweet. Common tropes include reconciling the past with the present to move on to the future, taking revenge to claim one's own legacy, and overcoming seemingly impossible odds to create a larger-than-life hero. Afro Samurai is a great miniseries that delivers in every way. So, I was actually thinking that I was going to read this entire dissertation, but I feel like probably we should just post it, and that first little section is a really nice summary yes. about his feelings of it. The idea is that there's a sort of warrior ranking system indicated by headbands, and yes. Afro Samurai is trying to get the number 2 headband so that he could, because only the number 2 headband can challenge the number 1, who's supposedly built up to be this, like, godlike figure in martial arts.
Yes.
Ironically,
though, he's a gunslinger.
Oh, because I haven't seen this yet. And so it talks about it goes into a lot of the themes of betrayal and justice and hard work, because Afro Samurai is trained by the guy wearing the number 2 headband, and so he spends all this time being yes. trained. And, you know, fighting off assassins who are after his master, only to eventually realize that if he wants to claim that spot, he is going to have to kill his master.
Yes.
And dealing with a lot of the emotional fallout from that. And there's a ton more, like I'm saying, I'm looking at, like, 5 long paragraphs of his thoughts on this, and it's really well composed.
I do actually want to put my 2 cents on this discussion of this.
Sure, sure.
And I wish that Megatron were here, but unfortunately he cannot be to debate this with him. I feel like this series is kind of sloppy in the execution of a revenge story. Like, I feel like, yes, there are all the great elements of what makes a good revenge story, but to be fair, I also feel like the creators of the series copied the tropes without trying to make it their own. They just thought.
How so?
I feel like Afro feels more like a carbon cutout of every single revenge protagonist that's ever been. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel authentic.
Okay.
He feels more like, to compare him to another character that is an amalgamation of tropes. Sasuke Uchiha. Masashi Kishimoto has said on record that he created Sasuke as, like, this conglomerate of rival characters. That's why he seems so... He falls flat ultimately in the end in being relatable to some people. So I feel like Afro is very much a Sasuke type character.
Okay.
No. We all know my feelings on Sasuke. So. That's fun. Maybe I'll watch.
It's a quick watch.
So yeah, let me just also, you know, read the final the summary at the end. He says, "All in all, Afro Samurai is a great miniseries for its nonstop action, introspection of a stoic character in the form of flashbacks, and its noticeably minimal length. It's the kind of anime that replays old tropes in a fun and exciting way, delivering a sense of novelty to what we all know can be blasé or even cliché. The spaghetti western style juxtaposed with the samurai spiritualism is a breath of fresh air in the anime world, and it's delivered in a short, decadent package that leaves you wanting more, but also altogether satisfied. Afro Samurai will go down as a memorable, if not legendary, miniseries, and will forever be spoken of as a bar for badasses and legendary samurai.
Different strokes for different folks,
I guess. Yeah, no, it's interesting that he so specifically talked about how it is, it touches on all the tropes that you said was ultimately detrimental to it, but he thinks, you know, he's saying that it was in fact done in a good way. So I don't know. We broke the less than 20-30 minutes rule, but it's only 5 episodes. So, like we said, miniseries can be all kinds of different stuff. And we'll have to come back to this conversation when Megatron's here to, like, really defend himself against Fire.
That could be future Patreon material, maybe. Nudge, wink, wink.
All right, moving on.
All right, so I am next here. This one is, you know, has become very popular very recently. I'm going to go with Agretsuko for mine.
I still need to watch that.
Oh, no.
I know. I really need to, too. I'm super excited about it, though.
It's very, very cute. If you haven't seen it, just a little synopsis on it. It is about a cute little red panda named Retsuko. She is a part of the corporate cycle of hell. and, you know, she is drowning herself. She's not drowning herself. She is being drowned in her work by her evil boss, who is this big pig who likes to play golf in the office and pile papers onto her desk. And to escape from this hell, she goes to karaoke every night. And here is where we see her do her death metal karaoke. So this hits home for me as a person because I work really long hours. Nobody really likes their job. I am a server, but I mean, I do. I love my job. But going to work every day and being, you know, all these hard hours, you need that release. And I'm not so much into death metal as I am, you know, hardcore and all that jazz. But, you know, it's very cute. I love it a lot. I think she's very adorable, and when you actually see her let go in karaoke, it's very funny. And sometimes she kind of explodes, not even in karaoke, just out in the real world, and you just see her start, you know, doing this death metal scream, and it's so funny, just coming from this teeny tiny red panda, you know? So it's fun to see this small, innocent character with all this rage. It's very me. Very nice. So, I love it. It's, you know, not too much to it, like a lot of anime miniseries. It's very funny. It's very cute. A lot of the characters are really great, like her co-workers, Feneko and Haida. They're very, you know, they love her, and they're adorable side characters, as well as you have Gori and Washimi, who are these two older women that work in the office, and you see them walking down the hallway strutting their stuff, and you know Retsuko looks up to them, and they're like, she's like, wow, aren't they're so beautiful and, you know, badass. And you see them turn the corner and like their backs hurt, and they're like, oh, no. You know, we have to keep up this image, you know.
Oh dear.
And then they become friends by going to yoga, and the yoga teacher's hilarious. I wish that Mechanical was here to do the protein. I'm not the guy. He was saying it in the chat. It was very funny. But yeah, I just, altogether, I watched it in 2 sittings. It was really great. I watched the Japanese version. They have other dubs on Netflix, which is cool as well if you are into that. Yeah, it's really great. It's on Netflix. Each episode is 15 minutes long. Really cute, really great.
This show actually reminds me of my runner-up, actually, which I will bring later. It's a similar format, and it's also a miniseries in that same vein. But I will wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good stuff. I like it a lot, so definitely recommend it if you haven't seen it already. Which I think a lot of people have.
A lot of people have.
What do you got for us, Natalie?
All right, so I've actually got something interesting. We've talked about how miniseries with these short episodes can work really, really well in cobbling together a really interesting story made up out of short moments. I am going to talk about how this formula doesn't always work with something you may have heard of called Hitalia. Yes, I'm seeing winces across the table, and here's the thing. I agree, but I am a huge fan of the source material. The webcomic is incredible, and by taking it and turning it into an anime and giving it this, five-minute episode context, it completely changed the tone of the entire thing to become inappropriate and irreverent and confusing, and it's not good. It's not good. So the idea behind Hitalia is that it's countries personified. So you have an individual who is and is representative of the country of the United States, Germany, Japan, Spain, France, all the countries of the world are represented as a person. And so now you get to see world history play out as alliances are friendships or marriages, as wars are, people fighting each other. And it's especially coming into it knowing the actual history and knowing the opinions of the leaders of the time versus knowing the opinions of the people of the time and the culture and the history. It's an absolutely fascinating piece, and you get to watch these huge, gross political things that have unfolded throughout history in a much more personalized context, because it doesn't become two countries going to war. It becomes two friends fighting each other, whether they want to or not, because they are at the whim of their boss's decisions. And it's very interesting, because it brings the, like I said, the human element to these overarching historical themes.
Yes.
Yeah, here, that sounds amazing.
It's incredible. Really great. Absolutely. Look up Hitalia, like the webcomic. Do not, for the love of all that is good in this world, do not watch the anime. Because I understand why they put it into a miniseries context. Because these original comics are, lengthwise, think more Sunday morning funny pages length than, a comic book length. They are presented in just comic strips, and you get these little pieces, these little glimpses.
Like three comas, right? The panels.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes. You're looking at like 3 to 5 panels.
Okay.
In just like a strip format. And you can look at them individually, or you can look at them as the greater storyline. But what happened in trying to capture that 3 to 5 panel comic feel, they took these characters and made them into the biggest stereotypes they could be. And let me tell you, the characters as they're presented are stereotypes of the country. Because certain cultural things are common, and stereotypes exist for a reason. Not always good, not always correct.
Yeah.
But they're usually there for a reason. As long as you're not using stereotypes to justify the way that you treat people as individuals, then you can look at it like this. So these are, an entire culture packed into one person, which means that you get oversimplification and you get sort of cultural stereotypes rolled into one person,
okay,
which can be very interesting, or in the anime, it can be super offensive. Because they played up the comedy aspect of it, the sort of negative stereotype aspect. If you're going to watch the English dubs, they literally instructed the voice actors to be as stereotypical and offensive as possible.
Yeah.
Like, people went in trying to do an actual Italian accent. They said, no, 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 no. I want you to ham it up. And you have these incredibly fast and comedic and bright and loud and totally out of historical context and order just flashes. And it becomes, it's the one of the best things I've ever heard to describe it was drunken history on crack.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
It is history abridged, told by someone who doesn't know a goddamn thing about history and is having some kind of speed-based substance abuse. It is a wild ride, and you're just left feeling confused and a little bit offended. And it kills me because this has become so popular as an anime, and it's very bad, and it's the fans and the fandom have done some incredibly problematic things to the point where you can't say that you're a fan of Hitalia without getting some immediate, incredibly negative judgment. Because you have people walking around dressed up in conventions wearing Nazi uniforms because they're dressed up as Germany. You know? And while within the context of the page you have all these other things going on, at the convention you just have, like, people don't take any of that extra stuff into account because they've only seen the anime.
Yeah.
And they just want to see Germany and Italy kiss. And it's just, yeah, like, it so misses the point of the source material. I mean, people used to write fan fictions with historical annotations. It was really, really cool. And it has devolved into this just... Yeah, no, it's very, very bad as a miniseries. Miniseries can be really good for slice of life things.
Yes.
For comedy things. We're talking about for horror things. Does not work so well if you need to have a greater context.
Yeah.
Which
absolutely.
If you need to have any kind of greater context, then the miniseries format cuts that out and can in fact be detrimental to the story, which is what it did to Hitalia.
I will be completely honest. When the anime was first released, I saw like maybe one or two episodes of it, and I'm just like, this is a hard pass for me because
it's bad.
I hated the animation for starters.
It's bad. No, like I said, it's really bright and really fast.
I did, however, give the dub a chance, and a less woke me found the stereotypes to be humorous. Now that I'm older, a little more cynical and world weary, I'm kind of just like, yeah, this probably wasn't the best idea.
Not great. Not great. Little problematic.
People change.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Well, you know, Britt, you have anything you want to add to that? Your two cents on this old Italian discussion?
I mean, from the way you describe it, I haven't seen it, I haven't read it, but the way you describe it, I think that the webcomic sounds beautiful. I would really like to, you know, read that. But yeah, anime, hard pass.
Yeah.
I don't even want to touch it.
No. It's really like
me.
If you want to watch like one episode, it's, like I said, you know, a 5-minute ordeal. But that's the tone of the entire series. So, like, yeah. just watch the first episode to get a taste of what I'm talking about and understand that the entire series is that. Oh, and no. they try to do some of the more serious plot lines. The comic has some very serious plot lines. We have a flashback where America is going through their attic and finds some memorabilia from when they were basically Britain's child. And you flash back to some really, really sad things about, think about it as, you know, the American Revolution basically being a child's rebellion against a parent figure, and the two of them just not connecting, not understanding. And it escalates to the point where, like, they don't talk to each other anymore. And it's very, very sad. And you get little things, you know, moments like that, that are then put into this new fast and furious and bright context. And even though they're trying to convey the sadness of the situation, it just doesn't come off that way. It just doesn't work out well. And there's a bunch of other, you know, for the most part, it's fairly episodic. It's each comic strip is typically pretty well contained within itself, which is why they chose to go with this format for the anime. I totally get the reasoning. I understand why they thought this would work. But you do have some stories that take, you know, a good number of those individual strips, and there is a through plot line that then gets completely lost and mangled in the anime. And like I said, you can read the webcomic and understand the greater historical context this is falling into, and you simply don't get that within the anime.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, again, I have a friend who is a historian who has gone, who's been very adamant about her disdain for the fact that people were cosplaying Germany because, yeah, she's a Nazi.
The whole thing takes place you get other sections of history, but it's primarily focused around World War II.
Yes.
And you mostly have, like I said, the main kind of plot line takes place with the Axis powers and the Allied powers.
Yes.
So the whole thing is framed around World War II, and you have the countries within the Axis and the Allied powers, you know? Anyone cosplaying from this series, you have the characters dressed in the military uniforms of that time. And it doesn't translate because the anime completely lost the atrocities of that war by simply focusing on silly reactions between basically cultural differences between Italy, Germany, and Japan, and making it almost like a buddy comedy between the three of them without recognizing the fact that, hey, you're wearing Nazi uniforms and there is a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, why are they all fighting? They never get into that, which again, like, it's not the point of it. You have to have that context when you're taking it and bringing it out into the real world. And the way that the anime was presented in the miniseries format, it took that context away. So, you know, impressionable little middle schoolers and high schoolers are watching this and squeeing over it and not really getting that when you cosplay as this character, there's a lot of other context that goes into it that you're not accounting for.
Yeah, they're really catering to the lowest common denominator here. I mean, this is the reason why you don't see a lot of people cosplaying as Stroheim from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to Battle Tendency. Even though, like, yes, he is a protagonist, but he's still a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people don't talk about him either. It's like, yeah, he's still a Nazi, even though he's fighting with JoJo.
Well, as an Anime Boston, Hitalia cosplaying has basically been unofficially banned. No one's ever put an official, you can't do this anymore, but no one will be caught dead cosplaying Hitalia at Anime Boston because there was a year where a bunch of Axis Power Hitalia cosplayers decided to leave the convention and walk down to the Jewish War Memorial in goddamn Nazi uniforms. And it was horrifying. That's the irreverent tone that the anime conveys by putting it into this rushed, bright comic strip kind of formula.
And that's like one step above the whole anime Matsuri debacle from this year, where you have the people who dress as Nazis outright just to see if they can get a rise out of people.
Oh, I wasn't at AB this year.
Anime Matsuri. It's been all over the internet, though.
Anyway, so let's go back to talking about miniseries that don't necessarily involve Nazis.
Oh, yes. That would be a very good idea.
That'd be nice. So, runners up.
My runners up. I've been going through a couple in my head. And, again, as Brittany was talking about her entry, one popped into my head. And I'm going to talk about this one because I don't see it getting a lot of love anymore. Detroit Metal City. DMC. Devil Horns, woo!
I haven't watched that yet, but when I was trying to figure out, like, what to talk about, that was one of maybe two or three things that consistently came up.
It's a hilarious series. It's a gag anime. It's about, this wannabe pop singer named Negishi who he spends his days out on the street trying to get people to listen to his happy, generic J-pop sounds, but unbeknownst to him, he has a talent for metal performance. So, through a twist of fate at one of his auditions, he gets drafted into a metal band called Detroit Metal City. And his band members come from different genres as well. The bassist is actually from a host club. The drummer is just the weirdest otaku you will ever meet. And he takes on the guise of Wolfgang Krauser. And he just has, like, this ungodly gift for that guttural metal performance going,
nice. I have such respect for people who, as someone who's been, like, vocally trained, I have immense respect for people who can do that and do it correctly so that they don't blow out their voices.
Oh, yes.
It's a really, really cool talent set.
I actually have a little bit of trivia for you that. So in the anime, the character of Negishi and Krauser are played by two different people. But in the live-action movie, Krauser and Negishi are played by Kenichi Matsuyama, who is also of Death Note fame. He's played L because he loves doing these weird characters.
Huh.
He did the performance for both. So he's one of those people that can do, like, those ridiculous guttural tones.
Nice. Very cool.
I will go a little off topic here, but in the live action movie, he does like a performance of the theme song Satsugai, which means murder. And he's going toe to toe with, Gene Simmons. Which, yes, not a fan of him as a person, but the fact that he went up with a rock god was pretty cool. But yeah, that's my runner up.
For me, I've already talked about this, episode one? I mentioned some corpse party, but we won't really talk about episode one. but, you know, corpse party is one of my favorites. Like I said earlier, it's, you know, a couple episodes each 25 minutes long. It's a great, gory, crazy, awful horror anime. If that's, you know, up your alley, I so recommend it. But, you know, I've already gone into it. No need. Just corpse party. Look it up.
Yeah, it counts as a miniseries. Talk about it again. I mean, how many episodes have I brought up freaking Cowboy Bebop? Like, when that's not what I'm talking about. We're allowed to bring up our favorites more than once.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't really have any other miniseries to talk about. I think we're definitely going to have to talk about favorite OVAs at some point, because we did gloss over those and decide not to include OVAs in a miniseries talk. But there's a lot of good stuff out there. This formula works really well for a lot of things, and not so well for other things. But we've talked at length about the one it doesn't work for. So, unless you guys have anything else to say?
No.
No, I think we should wrap this up. So
fabulous.
This is going to be a pretty brief episode tonight, which kind of goes with the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mini episode.
Yes. All right. So, until next time.
Oh, 606. Over and out.
Maggleby, see y'all later. Have a great week.
And Barney D0 saying, Ja, Matana.